It's my fault, not the other guy's fault, I'm telling you. It's always my fault. No, y'all stand up for just a second. We're going to pray. We're in worship. How many of y'all believe he's risen? Anybody in here believe he's risen? Living Water, I want to tell you, man, I want to thank God for you all. I want to thank God for you all. Y'all are one of the life-giving churches in Kentucky. Did you realize that? We got a lot of churches in Kentucky, but we don't have a lot of churches giving life in Kentucky. And I want to thank you all for not being church as usual. I want to thank you for welcoming all kinds of people in Mount Sterling and telling folks that had never been to church that they can come in and hear what Jesus had got to say. I'm glad to see that we got a variety of folks here. I'm glad to see that you're not all white anymore. That helps a lot to get a little color in the church. Amen? And I pray you move on to HD after that. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that God has called B.J. Stroutman to this church. And he's called his wife and his two kids, and they're going to bless this place. And so, B.J., I'm going to differ with you just a little bit. I've done that before. It is. I've been with B.J. since he's 10 years old.
That's true.
And I remember Elizabeth and I were laughing on the way up here. I said, honey, you remember B.J. would come back to church because my wife and I, we were so conservative. When we had our first kid, she drove a red Firebird.
I told you.
With T-tops. And she would drive B.J. and his buddy Dale around the parking lot in the Firebird. And they would come back to church the next week. So if you all don't think a hot rod won't lead somebody to Jesus, look what it's done. I want to begin this in prayer because God's done a good work, and you're going to love this family and his parents. And I want to thank God for Pastor Keith. And he's a guy that I've worked with for a long time. And he's mentored these worship leaders. And tonight I had tears in my eyes because Lindsay's over at Greenwood Baptist Church where Pastor Shane's now pastoring. And she's leading worship there, and that's because Keith is one of the most selfless worship leaders I've ever met in all of my ministry. Pastor Keith's a cool-looking guy, and he married way beyond his ability. And he's got these beautiful daughters, and you know what? He could be a showboater down in Nashville if he wanted to be. He'd have to put a little more product in his hair and some glitter. And he could showboat. But tonight I want to pray because tonight we hadn't showboated, we've worshiped. And I want to talk just a little bit about the difference between singing and worship. Because I go to Nashville all the time. A singer, they're a dime a dozen. A worship leader is hard to find. And I thank God for Pastor Keith, and I hope you have learned from his example. Because I have watched Keith lovingly and compassionately, and sometimes with the lack of some compassion, but I was behind him 100%. If you notice, Keith has dismissed all of the worship idols off of our stage. Because people that want to sing for their glory don't belong on this platform. Go to Nashville and wait tables till you make it. Because this is not a platform for songs. This is a platform for encounters. And I can tell you this, BJ's been brought up to bring in the Spirit of God. And I told him, I said, at Living Waters, they'll catch the wind of that Spirit. Because Pastor Grant's on, Pastor John's on. And now, you all needed a bald-headed, bearded guy to complete this staff. And your brother, baby brother, you found your lost brother back there. Yeah. Lisbon, and y'all haven't met my wife, but really my compassionate side is with me tonight. Ms. Elizabeth, and we've done some revivals of the way, but I want to pray right off the bat. Thank God, and I thank you all for standing. I thank you all for standing in worship. I thank you all for yelling out. I thank you all for raising your hands. And while at Hillview, when we first started, Grant, I was in a church that'd go crazy in worship, and then for a while, we took worship for granted. And I told them this morning at 8 o'clock, I said, I about couldn't stand up, and when you about can't stand up, you'll stand up again when you can. And sometimes the Lord has to kind of let us know he's in charge, amen? And he's with BJ tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful time we've had. And we pray right now on this charge that you will take this man of God and you'll take his lovely wife. Lord, that Chris is elected, and my buddy Jax, Lord, you're going to use their whole family in ministry. But you're going to stand BJ up Sunday after Sunday to usher in the power and the presence of an almighty God. So that when the word of God is preached, it might fall on good soil and it might multiply 30, 60, even 100 times. And so, Lord, I pray that this church that has gone beyond our expectations would remain positioned in yours and will do what you've called us to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. BJ, if you'll sit down by your lovely wife, and in just a minute, we're going to have a charge. How many of y'all have ever been to an ordination service? Well, this is kind of an ordination service, but it's really not. It's this. We're going to lay hands on BJ as a church because guess what? He's starting a ministry with some great people. And I kind of look at my ministry today, and things are weird. A lot's happened to me since the last time I was here with y'all. I got some good news. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to be a granddaddy. So I've never pictured myself as an old man, but I'm headed that way. And then some of y'all may have heard on June the 9th, I blew myself up. And, I had a few habits that were unhealthy and things like that. And my family would get on me, and I never wore my sunscreen. And they'd get on me about riding my Harley crazy. And I said, see, that's what y'all know. Here, I about died on the slowest thing I own. And so I want you to know this. I've learned some things. I've become a different man. I've had a truly fired up revival. And I want you to know that heaven is real. And I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ is needed, and I have a new message in my heart, and you need to be a part of hearing this. Playtime has come to a close, and the church has played long enough. In America, we got a lot of play church. We covered that in the last revival we had, didn't we? We covered that pretty sufficiently. Man, how excited, Pastor Grant. Thank God for your leadership. Pastor John, thank God for your leadership, and I know the reason. That the only way you two are any good is there is an almighty God that has inspired you and given you wives that keep you in line. Amen? That's the only way I'm any good. Now watch this. BJ, first thing I want you to know, we're not called by our own, I'm going to use a big word here, volition. And that means this isn't our idea. Now I deal with pastors all the time. I don't know why I got to deal with pastors all the time. It's the craziest thing that's gone on in my ministry. The worst thing that I want, I couldn't stand to be around pastors. They're okay one-on-one, but when you lump them together in a room, they're like flies that have gathered. You know what I mean? One fly ain't too bad, but a swarm will kill you. But God's called me to minister to pastors, and I look around, and all these pastors have gone out. But I want to give us a challenge, and for all of us ministers, and there's several of them here, Andrew Eaton, we had the privilege of him serving with us as our youth pastor. Pastor Shane Blankenship grew up at Hillview Heights Church and now pastor of Greenwood Baptist Church. Dr. Jeff Reynolds, who I've been his pastor for 18 years, and in the month of July, he became mine. I couldn't go to church, so he's the superstar of the bunch. He's a TV preacher now locally, so he's on the local WBKO 13, and so I'd turn him on Sunday morning. So I text him one Sunday, and I said, man, that's a great sermon. He goes, please don't tell me you're watching me live. I said, I can't go to church yet, Jeff. And guess what? These men and these ministers, and they're all over the state of Kentucky, man, what's going on here today? I want you all to understand it is significant that your church be the church God's called it to be. So thank you for calling BJ, because I know he believes in this, that souls must come to Christ. And if he doesn't, fire him immediately. I love serving with Pastor Keith Scarborough, because I got a worship leader that gets more excited about baptisms than he does guitars. I got a worship leader that's more excited about who's coming to Christ than how cool the stage looks. We're doing a total renovation on the stage. I don't know what they're all doing. I'm the old man now. I just go to my office and pray and hope that we don't all get fired next week. But you know what? They don't talk about that renovation. I have heard very little about that renovation. What I've heard about is how in the world can we see 600 people be baptized and confess their faith in the new year? Now, let me tell you something, Living Water. That's been your all spirit. And I'm going to challenge you again. I don't want you to stop in this room. Okay, don't stop in this room. You can fill it up 3 or 4 times and absolutely change Mount Sterling. And I want you to stay in that gear. I'm going to take you, BJ, to where we better be as pastors. I'm going to take you to the last words of Jesus Christ. These are the last words of Jesus Christ. And for some reason, I do not know why my colleagues don't understand that his last words are his most important words. They're the most important. They're the heart of a God who was crucified and is risen. And very few ministers heed to his word. And so, BJ, the first call in this is always heed to his word. Now, you're going to be tempted along the way. I've been at this now. I'm in my 33rd year of ministry. I don't know how that happened. That's about it, though, okay? So I'm glad to be in on extension. And out of all these years of ministry, you know what's going to be the greatest temptation? And it kills the majority of pastors I know and the majority of ministers I know. It is to please the people. And when you please the people, you will always miss the call of God. And see, it's time for that to be called out. Now, the thing about it is you'll have a great salary. Your family will have all kinds of blessings. It'll look like things are going good. But the problem is when they run your ministry through the refiner's fire, there won't be anything there in the end. And so all you'll have is what they said about you. So you know, Pastor Grant, I'm glad to know that y'all have made it on the blogs. I know you're following Jesus now. I tell pastors this all the time. If everybody likes you, I guarantee you're not following Jesus. I had an old pastor tell me that when I was ordained, the night of my ordination. He said, now, son, let me tell you, you got a big personality. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If everybody likes you in that church, I know you're not preaching the gospel. Because the devil, that's the way they used to say it back then, the devil, they didn't make him nice. They said, he does not like what Jesus has to say. That's real. So not all y'all going to like Pastor Grant, because guess what? He's going to tell you what you don't want to hear. But he's always going to tell you what he's heard from God. Sometimes, now, John's a likable dude. Well, sometimes. He's got the toughest job in the church. What is it? You got to say the word that drives church people crazy. No. Because everybody that's got an idea, if it's their idea, it's of God automatically. Have you noticed that? Now, if it's somebody else's idea, it's questionable whether it's of God. But if it's their idea, it's of God. So what are these pastors supposed to do? They're supposed to keep us in line with God's word. And we got to keep on doing what God's called us to do. Amen? So I'm going to talk down here. I like it down here a little bit, Grant. Is that all right? Check this out. God's last words. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I got to do this now, too. I didn't have to do this quite as much, did I? I got to do, look at this. Gosh, what an old-looking pastor. And I told y'all, that's what Grant and all of them do. Well, Pastor Steve's had an influence on my life, and he was there when I was in college. That's just saying, dude's gotten old. I used to be a young, edgy pastor. I ain't heard that in 20 years. Now it's gone to just Pastor Steve. Now it's even moving to just Pastor. I know what's next. Dead Pastor. That's what happens, okay? Now, BJ, listen to this. Yeah, or Grandma Pops. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee. It's very important you note that. One failed. His name was Judas. You know how you fail in the ministry? Become your own Jesus. And you'll hang yourself every time. You cannot do this alone. It takes the power of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you cannot do this to glorify yourself, or you'll head down a path and it will crash every time. BJ, I tell you from the bottom of my heart, and I tell you very sincerely, I have not seen a pastor yet that focused on himself that's made a difference in this world. Now, they gathered 100 or two. Well, I mean, you can do that handing out Fruit Loops. That ain't got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. You can hand out Cheerios every Sunday. And watch this. Read the Bible. They'll come for the fish sandwich, and miss the Savior. You remember that when Jesus opened up that Long John Silver's and fed 5,000 on that day? The next day they were back. Guess what they wanted, Andrew? They did not want a saved life. They didn't want a new life. They want another fish sandwich. So your job's not to pass out sandwiches. It's not to hand out favorite hits. It's to say, God, we want to be in your presence today. Now, note what happens here. This is interesting. Now, the 11 gathered, right, Pastor Grant? Because Judas made a what? He made a F. Can y'all handle that? He lived with grace for 3.5 years. He watched the miracles of Jesus. He heard the songs of Jesus. He had the campfire chants that nobody else heard from Jesus. He watched Peter walk on water and sink in the water. He ate breakfast, lunch, and he had community and fellowship with the brethren and made an F. You know how you do that? Focus on you. Judas was always focused on how it was going to affect him. And Jesus is always focused on how it was going to change the world. Now, church, our job ain't to say, Lord, what's in it for living waters? By the way, I'm going to let y'all know this. I changed June the 9th. I about had my last breath. About had my last breath. Was the thing gone somewhere, BJ? There it is. Is it getting on me? It's attacking me. It got around that little ear. Hey, I just praise God I still got him. On June the 9th, I about had my last breath. I just want to tell you all this when you have your last breath. I look at this scripture different now. These are Jesus' last words. On my last breath, I did not have my wife's name on my mind, and I've been with her for 32 years. I wasn't thinking about my kids, and they turned out okay. Hillview, I love you, but you were not on my mind. Pastor Keith, we have served God together, but your name didn't even register with me. Pastor Shane, you fought for our country. I couldn't even find you in the phone book. I had one name on my mind. Guess what it was, Pastor Grant? Jesus. So I am more committed today to making sure you know Jesus than ever. Because some of you are going to head toward heaven and go, I know Dr. So-and-so, and you're going to be so surprised that the Lord doesn't know him. Are you going to tell the Lord you're a Baptist, and he's going to tell you to go to hell? And you're going to be shocked because you sat in Sunday school and never listened to what it said. You listened to pastor after pastor, but you never heard the word of Jesus. So tonight, BJ, carry the word of Jesus. Carry it through song, carry it through creativity, but most of all, carry it in your everyday life. And it don't matter how you sing on Sunday if you ain't going to live it on Monday, brother. If they don't know you to be a wonderful person when you pick your kids up for school, they don't want to hear what you got to sing. If you're not going to love your wife, now don't be smooching on her in public. Those are people that are fixing to get a divorce. You know, some things, I'm old school. Keep all that to yourself. That's between you and the Lord and her, amen? All these people out there smooching around. You ain't got to do that. That's your business. Ain't nobody else's business. But you better love her. And they better see you respect her. You better raise your kids in the way of the Lord. They better know that their daddy loves them because he loves Jesus. And you got to love them more than you do the institution of the church. You got to live life. You know what people are looking for? Real deal. You know why people come to Living Water? It ain't because y'all got a cool building. It's because you love the Lord. Listen, we got it all backwards. I've been at this a long time. I've been to fancy churches, man. They got thousands stacked in there. They're clueless to who Jesus is. Because I listen to them talk. And they say, well, I can't wait till the next album comes out. Or I can't wait till the next spotlight comes on. Or I can't wait till I get to do this. Or this is what the Lord gave me today. That ain't worship. What did you give the Lord? That's worship. So, Pastor Grant, you getting on people that come out of church going, well, I didn't get nothing? I'll tell you why. You didn't give nothing. That's why you don't get nothing. Because you a selfish, stingy, rotten little child of God right now. And you got to grow up and become obedient, disciplined, loving, open, ready to go with whatever Jesus says kind of person, then you'll find out who Jesus is. But you won't find out if you're going to be selfish. There's only one disciple. He wasn't there. You know why? He's selfish. He's worried about, man, we got to get rid of this Jesus. He's fixing to get me in political trouble. And what the other guy said, we're going to watch him die, and we're going to know he's risen, and he's called them. Listen to this, church. This is for everybody to be ordained in. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. BJ, always go where Jesus directs you. And when you and Grant and John meet, this is the way it works in church. God is going to give Grant the vision. God is not a democracy God. He calls the lead pastor or the senior pastor. He gives them a vision. Now, you'll know it's a vision of God, Grant, because it'll be too big for you to handle. So you got to call John in. And you got to call BJ in. And you got to say, this is what the Lord has said. And then they're going to try to talk you out of it because they know it's going to cost them a lot of work. Then you'll know it's of God. And then you'll put your head down and say, that's what we got to do. Isn't that the way it works most of the time, Keith? Most of the time, Keith and I know it's the Lord's will when we're in disagreement. Because rarely do I agree with the Lord. Because the Lord says, pick up your cross. And I say, let's skip that deal. See, I want to live in the power of the resurrection without the pain of the cross. Because I'm an American. And I've been conned that this is a pain-free world, and it's not. It's a world ridden with pain so that the glory of God might be known. Here's what he said. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. BJ, their first response was not Bible study. They did not start writing out theological propositions. They did not ask which one was going to graduate from the seminary. Because things were wonderful then. There were no seminaries. There were no Baptists or Methodists or Pentecostals or Presbyterians or Catholics. There were just Jesus, the risen Lord. Amen. And he said, this is what y'all need to do. Now, Pastor Grant, I hadn't changed my mind. You started this church on this verse of Scripture. Did you realize that? If not, you could have played at Easy Street. You're a good Baptist boy. You had Baptist hair, Baptist language. Now, your wife, she kind of threw your deal off a little bit. Huh? You went over and got one of them wild East Tennessee women, and she brought you to Jesus. You knew how to be a Baptist. She taught you how to be a follower. She said, wait a minute, Grant. What about the people who didn't grow up in church? Well, they don't know what GAs is and RAs is? Uh-uh. They don't know what a Sunday school book is. They don't know what a Bible is. They don't know the difference between a worship song and a country song. Church is crazy. Sing so people will be saved, and worship so people will know he's real. And guess what happened, BJ? They bowed down and they worshiped him. Look what they did. They worshiped him. But guess what, Colin? Guess what? When you up here playing the drums, your hair flying all directions, guess what's still going on? But some doubted. I've never been in a worship service where some didn't doubt. And you always know the doubters because they wait till they get to the parking lot to speak. I call them parking lot members. They're not really members. This is what I think. And you know what I've come to tell you? I've come to tell you this tonight lovingly. God could care less about what you think. Let me let you in on a big secret. He's already got it figured out. He's already made a way. He's already reserved you a space in heaven. He's already put you in the power and the glory of God. He's already done it. He has. So guess what he wants? He would like to have some followers. And here's what he wants us to do. It's amazing. You know why God called me to preach? Because I was stupid enough to believe this. I wasn't sophisticated enough to say,
Well, now, Lord, is that what you really said?
So I learned to read when I was in first grade. Guess what see, spot, runs means? It means spot is running. So I want you to show what this means. This is not complicated theology here. And then Jesus told them who he is. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Every guy I do an ordination, they hear this. Jesus is the authority and we operate off his badge. So in a real way, all your pastors are Barney Fife. The best they'll be is a deputy. Because the sheriff has risen from the grave. And if you know a lot of pastors, Barney Fife is a good description. Except at Hillview, we let them carry more than one bullet. Okay, now check this out. Check this out. Check this out. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So, BJ, God, if you sent me to Mount Sterling, then I'm here to do your work. And when it's difficult, I'm going to do your work. And when it's easy, I'm going to do your work. And when they like me, I'm going to do your work. And when I sing a new song, and they all text each other saying, well, can you believe we sang that song? You say, yes, I can believe it. It's a new song from heaven. And they say, well, I like the old song. Well, Jesus likes the new one. That's why you need to get in Bible study. Sing a new song unto the Lord. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Gentlemen, ministers of the gospel, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't do this, we don't have church. Andrew, what's the greatest number I'm concerned about in the church? How many baptisms? Pastor Shane, when I called you, what did I ask you? About your budget? I don't care about your budget. Anybody can put sheetrock up. I've hung sheetrock with some of the biggest pagans that exist in the world. Anybody can do a building. Only God can build a church. Man can build a building, but only God can build a church. Grant, I'm so proud of you. You know why? You've let God build a church. John, I'm so proud of you. You know why? You know how to be a pastor. Guess what pastors do? They join with other pastors and they work together. And your job is absolutely important. I work with a group of pastors. Hillview Heights doesn't happen because Steve Ayers exists. Hillview Heights happens because there's a large group of followers that exist. And people invite their friends to church and they get saved. Don't they, Ken? Sometimes wives invite their husband to church and they get saved and get baptized in Barren River, don't they? Because of their little blonde-headed boy that got in a Firebird with T-tops. Well, I don't know if you were a little blonde-headed boy, but you were a blonde-headed boy. BJ, I just want to warn y'all, he's liked to eat all of his life. That ain't nothing new. That didn't come with a calling. That did it, Ken? That didn't come with a calling. But he's been a pretty good kid because your mama's never aged. And I know it ain't because of Ken, okay? So I'm like this. All authority on heaven and earth has been what? Given to who? Me, Jesus says. Now, guess what? It's what we got to do. It's what we're going to end on. It's what we're going to be about. Amen? Go. Pastors, you all listen. Go therefore, not because you've been called, but because Jesus has been risen. So, BJ, when you stand up here with all these great brothers and sisters that have been called to God, praise God at Lindsay's leading worship at Greenwood, and Shane's preaching at Greenwood, and Dr. Reynolds is raising up a First Baptist church. He's a minister with a suit and tie from Hillview Heights Church. Now, that's weird. Long hair and tattoos, that's common at Hillview. Suit and ties, that's weird. And so guess what? But this is where we all join together, no matter how we express it, no matter how we worship. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That means welcome everybody, BJ, to this place. Now, BJ, here's where it's going to get tough, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell everybody. You're going to have some people come that want to sing that can't sing. Don't let them. Because I'm going to go ahead and get everybody over with this. Just because you sing with the radio in your car, just because the Lord said make a joyful noise. Let's clarify what the Lord said. He said make a joyful noise. He did not say make a joyful noise on the stage in front of everybody else. It's not fun. It's not cute. It kills our ministry. Pastor Keith, who sings at Hillview? People that can sing. Guess who preaches at Hillview? People that can preach. Y'all ever been with somebody that thought they was called to preach and couldn't preach? Oh, gosh, that's a snoozer for an hour. You know why they can't hold people's attention? They weren't called to preach. Some old lady told them they were called to preach, and they believed her. She had Alzheimer's. She wasn't under the Spirit. She's crazy. Either that or she had too many nerve pills. You know, I used to preach in the country all the time. These old ladies said, well, Pastor, I got to have a nerve pill every once in a while. I moved to the city and found out those were 500 milligram Valium them chicks was taking. It's called drugs. We've been on them a long time. Even the blue hairs have thrown a few back. To do what? Cope with the world? Well, we ought to not be able to cope with the world. We ought to conquer it. Because we follow the God that's risen from the dead. And here's what he said. Go therefore and tell what? Everybody. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This must be important. Jesus' last words. Discipling is important. This must be important. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Looks like Jesus is concerned with baptismal numbers. Grant, you are, aren't you? Because when we have a conversation, what's one of the things I ask you? Yes. And we have a better conversation when you know, right? Okay, good. I'm just checking. Huh? I had one young buck, he left years ago. He got out in a rural church, and don't do this, BJ. I love him, and I still love him. But he loves to glad hand the folk. He got out there for a year. He welcomed everybody. He got some other church members to come, and he thought he was really rocking and rolling. He had a crowd. One of the things you'll learn about Jesus, he's never impressed with a crowd. Never. Which leads me to be, he's not Baptist. Because that's all Baptist preachers talk about. How many did y'all have? I got one answer for that. Not enough. I don't know how many we had. I don't care how many we had. That's the wrong question. The question is, how many came to Jesus? See, go ye therefore and make disciples, not go ye therefore and gather crowds. Make disciples. Nashville, they get a crowd. Jesus, he gathers people and takes them to heaven. And he baptizes them in the name of the Father and Son and the what? Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey, to observe all that I've commanded you. Now, BJ, here's the relief. And behold, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. Let me give you three things. Wake up in the morning and thank God for making you a pastor at Mount Sterling. And remember in the good days that he's made you a pastor of Mount Sterling. Grant, you've been here, what, 14 years now? Going on 13. Well, don't let me speed you up a year. Let's keep it where it is. 13. So you didn't have Caleb when you were here.
He was born.
I mean, he was just surfacing. What a surprise that's been for 13 years. All these great young people, what's this? Church, are you learning today? What's this? Stand up here, Caleb. I like you, got a big head. Hold on. This was BJ 26 years ago. Now sit down, that's good. And you heard BJ. BJ's call to ministry started with a woman who was dedicated to teach children's ministry. Her name was Elizabeth Ayers. She had two little old blonde-headed kids show up, Dale and BJ. I think Blake was, what, maybe a year old, 2 years old. And Elizabeth talked about, all these kids are great. And I met them, and I said, they ain't that great. No, I loved them. They were great kids. They were about the only two kids we had when we started Hillview. They were the children's ministry. And BJ invited his parents to come to church. Isn't that right, Ron? Here's a 10-year-old. And guess what? This 10-year-old, he was crazy. He went to a church that said, go ye therefore. And he said, I think I'll start with my mom and dad. And now let me show you how this works, because it works like this in Mount Sterling. Now his dad, every Sunday morning, the Lord's got him messing with buttons. And Lord have mercy, whatever y'all got to do now, God help us, all the stuff up there. It looks like a jet airplane up there. And lights and buttons and sound and all that. But guess what? Ken's been through that whole process. In every God stock that goes by, here's my old buddy Ken Stroutman, BJ's daddy. He's got sweat pouring off his head. And he comes in after the both services and said, another one down. And boy, it was a blessing. You see, that's what happens when we go and do what God tells us. Now, what happens when we do it our way is we get together, we sing some songs, we eat some food, and nobody changes. And that's not biblical fellowship. Because if you stay with Jesus, you'll be one of the two. You'll either be a follower or a Judas. And Jesus is going to show himself to both. And our job, Pastor, our job, pastors, is to make sure the people become what? Followers of Jesus. And BJ, if you do that, guess what? You can sing a great song. By the way, enjoy every day of it. And you're going to have good days. And what else are we going to have? Let's be honest. Grant has every day been a wonderful day pastoring this church. Be honest. Come on, your people have grown up. No. John, has every day in your ministry been a lovely day?
No, I got to work with Grant.
There you go. I knew it. But guess what? Has every day been a blessed day?
Amen.
At the end of the day, what happened? God said, come here. And when he says, come here, he says, go therefore. David, you grew up in a pastor's house. Was every day lovely? No. But God made you the man he is through both times. Amen?
Absolutely.
So, BJ, here's my challenge to you. When it's not lovely, remember Jesus is.
Amen.
And hold on to him until the blessing comes. And I'm going to stop there because if I get on that, I'll get to preaching again. Hold on to him to what? The blessing comes. Pastor Grant, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And Pastor Keith, my colleague and co-laborer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I'm proud of Keith. I looked up there tonight, Keith, not that you're getting old like me, but you're closer than you think. Just because you married a young woman don't make you old, okay? I looked up at Keith. I looked at his ministry. Pastor Shane, you know where Lindsay learned how to be a worship leader? Tell him, Alex, where? From Keith Scarborough. You know why that happened? Because Keith Carborough, BJ, he's a great mentor because he's not a showboat. So he said, you know what? I'm going to raise up BJ to be a worship leader. And if he's better than me, guess what he says? So be it. Glory to God. And if Lindsay can sing better than me, I'm not going to bury her, but I'm going to raise her up so that she can be heard to the church. If you all take that kind of attitude at Mount Sterling, guess what? This place is going to be full two or three times. Make sense? Make sure that you all work together in such a way that your pastors have got to take a vacation. But work in the Lord. Amen? BJ, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And then, church, most importantly tonight, you're installing a great worship pastor. Thank you all for taking the next step. Amen? Can I brag on y'all just a moment? I want to brag on your staff. I want to brag on Pastor Grant. I pulled up tonight, and the front of the church was sparkling. Now, y'all may have washed it on Friday, but I'm telling you, it was sparkling. I looked at what you've done in the lobby, and guess what it says? Guess what it says? See, here's what you cannot forget. Y'all can't get so fellowshipy that you forget to be go ye therefore. We've been at Hillview for the past 20 years. Guess what I've done? John, guess what I do every week? Stir stuff around so that people won't settle down and get locked in their little old routine and forget to go invite their lost friends to church. Because it takes them about 3 months and they become churched. I was telling you about this pastor. Called my little brother up there a year later. I said, how did you get baptized? He said, three. I said, never tell anybody you served with me. And that phone got real quiet. I said, never tell them you were under my leadership. Because I said, you've denied everything I taught you. He said, well, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, really? Well, then go work at Walmart. BJ, I disagree with you a little bit. The reason the church is in trouble is not because the sovereign God doesn't want it to be alive. The reason the church is in trouble, he's having a hard time finding obedient followers to go ye therefore. Now, he can find a bunch of entertainers, a bunch of glad handers, a bunch of sandwich munchers. Yeah, I mean, they love to go eat sandwiches with people. Well, I mean, if you eat a sandwich with Pastor Grant, you're going to hell. I mean, what are you going to tell the Lord? I had a sandwich with Pastor Grant. Well, whoopity-doo. We had fellowship. You know what I say to that? Whoopity-doo. If you don't meet Jesus, you don't enter the gates of heaven. And we need to be reminded of that. Amen? Man, thank you all for your time tonight, your patience tonight. You got a great young man here. But I want you to know who mentored to. I preached to him, got to baptize him. But this man right here, Pastor Keith, mentored him. And you all wore out two or three cell phones. Oh, and BJ would whine. I've had him in class. He'd whine. Just whine. When's the Lord going to call me? Now. So you had to get Grant ready. So you got Grant. Grant's been fussed at too. He built a shotgun church, a traditional church for a non-traditional church. He got that sermon. And then to see, he had to get Grant's heart ready. And then John had to find the money. Because if y'all look at BJ, he got to eat. He ain't going to survive on Fruit Loops. And then the church got ready, and now it's going to be right. Amen. It's right in here tonight. Amen. So here's the way we're going to close this thing out. I'm going to open in prayer. And then Keith, I'm going to ask you to pray as BJ's mentor over him. And then Grant, as the pastor of this church, the ordination and to be ordained and set aside and the laying of hands means, BJ, God has chosen you to lead this church in worship. And so now you've been given all these gifts over all these years and all this theology and all those classes and all those kind of things. And now God has prepared you. And it's not just to come and be the worship leader right here in Living Water, but it's a call to disturb Mount Sterling with the grace of God. And it can be irritating. And don't tell me it can't be done here. Because y'all know it can. And just like your colleague Daniel on up the road at Moorhead, when Daniel started that church, everybody told Daniel, all the old mature pastors, well, son, it'll never grow in this area of Kentucky. He had 1,800 for Easter. You know why? Because he believed what the Lord said and not some old crotchety pastor that had served the people. I'll call him out. I about died, so I'm wide open now. Y'all thought I was fired up before. I'm a nuisance now. So I want y'all to stand, because this is where it really comes from the power of the church. And I want y'all to slide down here to the altar, and I want everybody to put a hand on the person behind them. Make sure you're touching somebody. Because we're going to lay hands on you as a group. Okay? I didn't want to do a pass by. It'd be a 3-hour funeral if we did that, okay? Right. And man, I want to thank God for every one of y'all showing up here tonight and loving God like you love God. I want to thank you, sister, that you had faith in God tonight to come and be prayed for at the altar. That's what God asks us to have. And he does things. And I want to tell you tonight, you talking to a pastor that knows God will heal you. Because guess what? I get to point a hand at you that wasn't a hand a few months ago. It's that real. And so, BJ, you have been called, as I've told you, to the most gracious, loving pastor I know in Kentucky. Now, see, Pastor Keith can't say that, but you can. And Pastor Grant is a pastor, and he loves people. And he loves them so bad, y'all don't see him when his head, comes down and nobody's been saved at a service because that bothers Pastor Grant. That's why I'm here in his church. If y'all just had lights and stuff, that don't impress me. I've been to Vegas. They got more lights than any church, and it's all going to hell. It's not about the show. It's about the go. Have you been challenged tonight? BJ, lead them to Jesus. Pastor Grant, lead them to Jesus. Pastor John, keep them in Jesus. And Jesus will do immeasurably more than any of us can imagine. Lord Jesus, I lay my hands on BJ as an elder of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may the fire to preach, to teach, to lead, to love, to sing, to organize, to structure, to welcome, and to introduce the world to a living Jesus. May it be formed in his heart, expressed in his mind, and made visible in his hands. I pray for his beautiful wife, Crystal, that you gave him, Lord. I pray for their marriage, that you bless their ministry together, and that this church be lifted up in the Holy Spirit in all that it does. Bless BJ. Bless Crystal. Bless those two beautiful children. May Lexus and Jax, may they thrive because you've put them in this place. And may they become the women of God and the men of God you made them to be. And may BJ rejoice, God, that you were calling him the whole time. And now you've put him where he belongs. So he can be in a peaceful, agitating work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.